welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Bob Smith, the Executive Director of the ESD Alliance, a semi-technology community representing members in the electronic system and semiconductor design ecosystem. Bob is responsible for management and operations. Welcome to the podcast, Bob.
Hi, Dan. Thanks. Great to talk to you.
Yeah, we just saw each other last week. I just remembered at the Kauffman dinner. How did that go in comparison to previous years? I mean, it seemed like a big turnout to me.
The turnout was great. I have to tell you, I just got a compliment yesterday from somebody else, but I've had some emails. A couple of people actually called me, said it was one of the best events they'd been to in a long time. Of course, it's been over 2 years since many of us have been to a live event, but I think it really went smoothly. People had a great time. In fact, we kind of had to wind it down and encourage people to leave after we were, you know, we got to the end of our time that we had in that facility. So it was a good sign.
Well, there was an open bar, Bob. So yeah, I enjoyed it very much. It was one of the better Kauffmans I've attended. You know, I go to them every year. And very well done. So the first question I like to ask, my first time guest is, how did you originally come to the semiconductor industry?
Great question. I'll make a longer story short. It was a bit of an accident. I was working at Hewlett-Packard. I was primarily analog, but did some digital design work. And after, I think it was about 4 years, a friend of mine said, hey, one of the local semiconductor companies is looking for some technical support people. You know, you ought to branch out and learn, you know, learn some other part of the business. So this was with American Microsystems. I ended up going over for an interview, went through the interview, thought it was interesting. And on my way out, a guy in a suit grabbed me and said, do you have a few more minutes? And I said, yeah, I guess so. And he goes, come into my office. He closed the door and he sat me down and he looked at me and said, you don't want to be in that group. You want to be in marketing. And I looked at him and I said, what's marketing? I really had no idea. And I was an engineer. And he said, don't worry, I'll show you the ropes. And I ended up taking a job with him. He went on to be the first, I think, VP of sales at a little company called Cisco, and he did very well. But he was the one that got me into AMI, and I helped define new products. I remember going to the fab a lot to track projects. So that's how I got in. It was kind of the luck of the draw that somebody recognized maybe I could do something other than be, you know, just being an engineer. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But it really opened up a whole lot of other things for me.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. Personalities are important, and you know, you want to do what you really, really enjoy. So, that's a fairly common story. So, let's talk about the ESD Alliance. How does that fit into Semi?
That's a great question, and I get it asked a lot. So, first of all, Semi. If you look at Semi, Semi is representing the whole semiconductor supply chain. Globally, from design all the way through manufacturing, assembly and packaging, materials, everything. And it turns out within Semi, there's a number of different groups, but there are six technology communities that are kind of specialty areas. And we are one of those tech communities. So as you introduced me, I'm with the ESD Alliance, the Semi Technology Community. I won't go through all of them, but some of the others, there's like a MEMS and sensors, there's a FlexTech group, there's a nano biomaterials, there's a total of six, including ours. And so that's how we fit. We're a technology community, meaning that we speak, you know, we have our own audience. All of our members are semi-members, but we are kind of a unique carve out, you know, in the overall supply chain.
You know, I've been with you guys for years and years before Semi, and so I was very interested in that. And I'd also be interested to know what is new with the ESD Alliance. I mean, I hear from you guys a lot. I see you at all the events, but just give us a quick update.
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, I think you hit on one of the points that that I'd like to make is that we just had two live events, the first in over 2 years due to the pandemic. We had our CEO Outlook. I think you were there at that. And then we had the Phil Kaufman Award Dinner in May. And we're actually having our first live governing council. This is like our board meeting in about 3 weeks in June. I mean, we've been having these meetings just virtually for over 2 years now. So that's certainly, it's kind of sad to say it's new, but it is new given the 2 year history we've been through. Membership is up. We're at 40 members now. And we have definitely seen expansion on the global front, meaning we're picking up more people that are not, more companies that are not necessarily based in North America, particularly with China. We've seen a definite increase in membership there. One other thing that's kind of new, and it's just something that started as an experiment, but we, as a member benefit, we decided to get plugged into SEMI's blog site, which goes globally, and in particular, every Tuesday or every other Tuesday, I think it's every other, they publish a newsletter called the SEMI Global Update, and it goes to over about 30,000 readers worldwide. And we've been working with a bunch of our members since mid last year to help them write blogs, get them published, and get it out there. And this is, we've done this for everything from startups that have just started to multi-billion dollar companies. And the response has been really phenomenal. I think we've done over a dozen since we started. I know I have two in final editing right now, and we've got another two or three that we're working on. And then there's just been a number, in the last year, there's been a number of other topics that have bubbled through the group where I've had to, bring people together to talk about topics like some questions about what's going on in open source, EDA and IP. Another one had to do with the Wassenaar arrangement, which is that kind of global body that puts out rules on export controls. And there were some specific ones that were very kind of, I guess, confusing and not necessarily well thought out, that targeted EDA software used to design certain types of devices. So there was a lot of discussion about that, but there's always something new.
Oh, for sure. So one thing that you guys have worked on in the past was anti-piracy issues. And I know the EDA Alliance has Cadence and Synopsys and Siemens back behind this, but can you give me a status of that? What's new in the anti-piracy program you guys have?
Yeah, sure. So much of the effort, or most of the effort, has gone into developing what we call a server certification protocol. And the intent of this protocol is to basically mitigate or thwart software, basically unauthorized use of software licenses by cloning host IDs. And in today's modern world of virtual servers and distributed computing, this turned out to be a real boon for pirates, or nefarious people out there that wanted to start a company and basically get access to million-dollar software for almost no cost. So this group has been working several years now. There's a joint development effort formalized between, you mentioned the parties, Cadence, Siemens, and Synopsys, to develop a protocol which would allow, essentially would allow unique identification of machines. So not host IDs, not MAC addresses, but a fairly complex scheme that's just like a person has a fingerprint, so does a machine. No two machines are exactly alike. And what they worked on, and what has now been formalized with blessing from the other side of the equation, which are the customers that use these software license managers, a first draft, we call it draft 1.0 of the spec. The thing they're heavily involved in right now is working on a reference implementation. So taking that spec and building some software that will actually, based on the spec, go out and actually do, I don't know what the right word is, maybe interrogation, can interrogate a machine and develop, basically recognize it. Okay, this is the right machine. It's not a clone. It's not a copy. So that is what they're doing right now. The other thing that's going on, actually two other things. One is we've introduced this protocol into the semi-standards group to apply for standardization. And that process has started, as you can imagine, like many other standards processes. You know, it doesn't happen in weeks, but in months. There's a lot of steps you have to go through. But assuming we get to the finish line, I think we will. It'll be the first design standard in SEMI's portfolio, which currently has well over 1,000 standards. So it's kind of a first for SEMI that we're actually developing something that applies to chip design versus other pieces of it. I guess I should also add that this JDA, this joint development, actually all the output of it becomes a property, essentially will be owned by SEMI for the benefit of the industry. And as we get through the implementation, you know, a reference design and so forth, then we'll be working on, okay, how are we going to license this to others? So we definitely have interest from other companies that want to use this. And frankly, I think we'll see interest, well, I already have at least one from companies that aren't in our space, so not EDA companies, but imagine any really high value, high cost software where companies want to add additional protection on who gets access to it.
Well, I tell you, piracy has always been a problem ever since I started in the industry, and we really appreciate your efforts here. It does make a difference. You know, the other thing you folks help with is navigating the maze of export controls and restrictions. Is there any update there?
Well, let's see. It's kind of like the joke about the weather. If you don't like it, wait 10 minutes. And I could say, if you know, I think for anybody that reads the news, this playing field is constantly changing. There's lots of nuances. There are two things that I think SEMI has done very well that really have helped our certainly our members and all SEMI members. One is every other week they host this, and I say they. We have a Washington D.C. Policy and advocacy office, and run by Joe Pacetti, who's the VP that runs that. And they're the ones that do all the connection to all the government agencies, you know, what have you, represent the industry in Washington. So they hold every other week a biweekly call called the SEMI Export Control Committee. And any SEMI member can sign up to join, to be on the list for that, to either listen in to participate. And, you know, they're doing it every 2 weeks because just, you know, you read the news, things are always changing, and it's really the only way to stay on top of it. The other thing that they do that a lot of our members have signed up for, and I recommend it all the time, is every morning, early Washington time, they put out a daily news update via email that is a summary of all the headlines from all the leading publications that have to do with either exports or tariffs or government initiatives. For example, all the stuff going on in, you know, in our country in Washington, these different programs for semiconductor industry, you know, for building out manufacturing, for making us more competitive, and how do we manage others and all that. That all gets summarized with a headline, a link, and then a paragraph. And you can very quickly look at it and, you know, learn about what's going on. So, super helpful. Those are two of the things. And then occasionally, you know, we will get direct questions. I'll get an email from a member. What do I do? Where can I turn? And what I do is usually put them in touch with our Washington, D.C. office and have them talk to them to get advice on, you know, what resources are out there. Obviously, we can't, or SEMI can't either, give, you know, actual legal advice, but we can definitely point them in the right direction.
I know companies that I've been with in the past have relied on you folks for that. So that's a big added value. But what other industry projects or issues are you guys dealing with or are you engaged with?
Well, you know, it's always something. One that I'm really actively looking at right now, based on some inquiries I've had, is this whole issue of, I'll call it IP security, tracking throughout the design and supply chain. This really kind of bubbled up, and I was contacted from a number of members because the IEEE has a, it's a recommended practice. It's called IEEE 1735, And it has to do with the encryption, recommended ways to encrypt and manage electronic design intellectual property. So, and I will be honest, not an area of expertise for me, but if you're working on a design and you've developed your IP, which might be the design itself, and now you're passing from tool to tool, you'd like that to be protected so somebody can't, you know, snoop in through your tool or something and grab a copy of it and go with it. It turns out that recently, actually this week, there's a IEEE security conference, I believe, up in San Francisco, and one of the papers is on a group at a think tank that cracked this recommended practice and basically was able to extract secure private keys that were protecting this information, meaning that anybody that could do that could then get all the access to the underlying design and everything. So we are right now weighing, and I'm actually presenting this to our governing council at our next meeting, maybe confabbing, putting together a industry committee to actually get leaders from the industry to talk about how do we as an industry want to respond to that? You know, what are we going to say? And then frankly, a lot of other things surface from time to time. That's kind of the one that's big on my radar right now. I mentioned earlier, though, things like this Wassenaar arrangement, which was looked like it would be very restrictive to EDA. And also quite a bit of interest about what's going on with open source solutions and how our government's treating them. And there was some concern there. That one has seemed to die down a little bit, though. So it's anything that comes up in the industry that affects everybody, you know, not just one company, but kind of all players, like it affects everybody in the industry, is an area that we, you know, we need to be aware of. And if needed, that's why we exist as a trade group, is to help, you know, all companies help the industry move forward.
Well, you guys are doing a great job. You know, I know security is one of the trending topics on SimaWiki, and cryptography is a big part of that. So that's definitely worth the effort. Are there anything else coming up for you guys in the future that you want to share with us?
Well, you know, I think as I just mentioned, you know, it's always hard to see what's around the next quarter. I think there's many things. I think we could always expect new issues. One challenge that we have, or I guess I should say I have, and I really want to do better on, is we are now, since we joined SIMI, we really are a global organization, meaning, you know, we have folks and members in Asia, in Europe, in Japan and Korea, everywhere, North America. And I think we need to make our events more global and more accessible. So I'll give you an example at our CEO Outlook event. I think it was a very good event, but there was no real practical way for folks that were out, frankly, even outside of the Bay Area, other than, you know, if you're on the East Coast flying in, which I know we had one or two people. But I think we need to adopt more of a hybrid model so we can be more inclusive. And we had a great head start before the pandemic about starting to weave our content into the global SIMICON shows that occur all over the world, and had actually dedicated design sessions. But frankly, after 2019, that all got kind of cut off at the knees because we really, you know, we couldn't be there. You couldn't travel. So I'm hoping that that starts up again. So I think one of the, you know, big ticket items is how do we make this more recognized as a global group and not just something that's in North America?
Yeah, I agree. You know, a lot of these events are hybrid now, and, you know, instead of hundreds of people, they're getting thousands around the world. I think it's one of the benefits that we've extracted from this pandemic is we can reach so many people, but live events are very, very important. So the live content, I was at the CEO panel, and I used to go every year, and it's mm-hmm. just so good to see people face to face and to reconnect with other people. And, but you know, you have to address the other, you know, millions of people in the world. So, boy, that would be really good if you guys can pull that off.
Yeah, I agree. I think we need to.
Yeah. So let's talk about how we learn more about the ESD Alliance and SEMI. You know, how do they contact you guys? How can they get involved? You know, what can we do here?
I think it's really simple. I think the first thing I'd say is for anybody that wants to know more about what we do is just drop me an email. It's very simple. It's bsmith@semi.org. And the other thing is check out our webpage, which is on the semi.org site. And if you look on their homepage, you'll see a communities and you'll see a link to communities. Click on that and then you click on ESD Alliance. And we have our own set of pages that are specific to the different initiatives we have, what we do, where to get data, where to look at past events, videos. There's a whole bunch of information there. But I think for specific questions, I do work actually very closely with the SEMI membership group. They know me well, I know them. And we, when we get somebody that's interested, sometimes we get people coming into SEMI that really only want to join because they want to be in our group. So as soon as they know that, I get involved in talking to folks, explaining, trying to understand what do they want to get out of it? What can we provide in the way of benefits and so forth? So there's plenty of ways to get in, but if it's specific to our group, I'd say absolutely shoot me an email. I'm very good about responding. Big part of what I do, I see, is to help, bring people into our group, strengthen numbers, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so we're about out of time. Thank you, Bob, for the great content here. And thank you, everybody, for listening in to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. And have a good day. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.